Welcome to this edition of the new WHFR Journal. My name is Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek. And boy, do we have an action-packed show this week, Alan.
We do indeed. We're going to talk about Dearborn Restaurant Week, also National Signing Day for a lot of high school athletes in the area, some of whom will be coming here to Henry Ford College to continue their academic and athletic careers as well.
So. Oh, yes, very exciting. And we are going to start our interview portion of the show today with the sort of newest, I think, appointment to this Henry Ford Community College body with the Vice President for Student Affairs. Dr. Daniel Herbst will be joining us in just a moment or two, and we're very excited to not only welcome him to our airwaves, but learn a little bit more about him. We've seen it. We've been looking at his picture here for a while, Alan, and so we want to make sure that he's, you know, matching up with the face here. But we also
want to... We got the right guy in the studio.
That's right. I think we do. Yeah, that's right. We also do want to give a little shout out to the theme week that's coming up next week, beginning Sunday going through Saturday, so it starts in a couple of days, and that is the theme of love. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Yeah. Excellent, indeed. So a lot of our music programs are going to, talking to different people on the air, some of them are kind of like, well, I'm not really all into that lovey-dovey stuff. I'm like, well, that's fine. Then just go anti-Valentine's Day and just, explore the single life for us. Or so who knows what they're all going to come up with.
That's right.
I'm really looking forward to it.
I trust our very creative DJs will do something fairly unusual, fairly different, but in a good way. So we hope you'll listen. And we will be doing some things tailored to the concept of love. And again, love doesn't have to just be romantic love.
Correct,
it certainly can be a number of things. So we'll have someone on campus representing the philosophy department, actually. Dr. Ryan Scholler will be in next week talking about what philosophy means. Philosophy, the word itself, means the love of learning. So he's going to talk about different types of love and so on. So really excited about that. In addition, we'll have some friends from the newly named but formerly called Dearborn Animal Shelter talking about the love of pets. And
the greatest love of all.
You got it.
I'm just telling you.
I agree with that.
My two Shih Tzus would agree as well.
Aww,
so yeah,
very nice. So we hope you'll stay tuned for next week, and we hope that you're having a safe afternoon braving the weather. And we thank you for listening to the new WHFR Journal. Do note the views expressed on this program do not represent Henry Ford College, its employees, its students, or this campus community, but are exclusively of our opinions and those of our guests. And let's jump in, because we have, boy, the guest of all guests at this point. Frankly, the big man on campus right now.
I was going to say, the Board of Trustees have either anointed or appointed, depending on how you want to look at it, our guest today to speak on behalf of the college, or at least as Vice President of Student Affairs.
That's right. Welcome, Dr. Daniel Herbst, to our show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you. You have been in this job for a long 8 days now, 9 days now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know everything there is to know about what we're doing.
Of course. Ask away. I'm ready for any questions you might have.
You know which parking lot to park in at this point, right?
Yep. Yes, I do. How to get out of the parking lot is a little challenging at times, but I know which parking lot to get into.
Yeah, that took like a month for the last person, so you're ahead of the curve. We'd love to get a little background rather than reading a biography. Just what stands out to you? What's important to you in your history that brings you here to help you do this new job that you're sitting in?
I have been in the field for 25 years, and I've worked in student affairs the entire time. And student success and making sure that students get from the parking lot to the graduation stage is basically what I'm here to help do. The staff, I've worked with student affairs staff across the country, and I always find them, and I found them here already, to be totally dedicated to that process of getting students through what can be a very complicated bureaucratic system and getting them so they can get into the classes and start the learning that they really want and why they come here in the first place. I've had a lot of experience and enjoyed my entire work. I have a lot of experience in enrollment services. I've been fortunate to be involved directly with the building of two buildings that deal with enrollment services, but I've also covered every aspect of student affairs. I've been Title IX coordinator. I've done student conduct. I've been the disabilities coordinator at a major university. I've done drug and alcohol work. I've done HIV testing on campus. As my father once said, you can't keep a job. It's just because I've expanded, and I've always been able to accept in new responsibilities. Whatever can help students, I've been willing to do that.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful to hear, especially since the types of things that you're talking about might not stay consistent year after year, you know, decade after decade. New challenges, not only outside challenges that students are facing, but almost, you know, certainly inside challenges as well. So the ability to sort of ride with that and stay on the cusp of that is, I'm sure, has helped you a great deal.
I really appreciate the staffs, and because of the rules change, financial aid rules change, admissions rules change almost every year. Why their heads don't explode, I don't know. Because it's so difficult to keep up on it, but it's really important to be able to do that. And so I appreciate the fact that you recognize this is a challenge for everybody to be able to do the job and do it well.
And in a sense, you're the ultimate student's representative to, you know, the people who are the Board of Trustees and to the president of the college as well, right?
I appreciate that because I think that's absolutely right, that someone who sits in this chair that I'm sitting in now really has the responsibility of serving the students, but serving the college. Mm-hmm. And making sure that both needs are being met, that students are well treated and they receive the services they need. If that doesn't work, then to work with the Board of Trustees or the other administrators to make sure that we can get those types of services to be able to help them. I'm still in the learning process, even though I've been in the field for a long time. Mm-hmm. Every institution does it a little bit differently. It's called something different somewhere else. But everything I've seen, the staff I met with, the managers I work with, and the other administrators, I just came from a meeting with another vice president. Everybody seems to be very high quality and very much fun to work with. Both things I like. I like working with very intelligent people and like people who understand and enjoy their jobs. And I'm finding that here at Henry Ford.
Well, glad to hear that. You're from Illinois originally?
Yes.
Yes. And you've moved around a little bit to some different places.
Sure.
And you're now here in the Metro Detroit area.
Yes.
Some history in Michigan, right? The doctor part of Dr. Herbst comes from up north. Yes,
yes.
Right?
I lived in the last 10 years in Arizona, part of the Maricopa Community College system, which has 10 colleges, serves about 250,000 students per year. And for 3 years, every 8 weeks, I would fly up to Ferris State we would do the classes in Grand Rapids. And some days would lose 80 degrees on a day when I would fly up and enjoy the cold weather.
We could use those 80 degrees
indeed. So I did enjoy that. But I'm originally from Southern Illinois down by St. Louis.
Okay. You decided to put your hat in the ring for this particular job here in Metro Detroit, and we are certainly a community in Dearborn, most locally, that is diverse, eclectic, varied in terms of a number of different components and systems. Why here? Why'd you want to work at Henry Ford College?
For the same reasons you just mentioned. Because I was looking for a diverse college. I've actually turned down a position when I realized that the community wasn't very diverse, and I really do prefer to work in a community. I see the community college, the community being the world. And so we aren't just serving one group of people. We're serving everyone who might be able to receive benefit and services from us. So I really did like that. I was very specific about choosing Henry Ford. You mentioned that I graduated from Ferris State. When this job came open, I had three of my peers who are still working the state send me the ad, says, A, it's a great school, and B, we want you in Michigan.
Oh.
And so I did take that opportunity to be able to move back, to be in the Midwest, be closer to my family a little bit, and those types of things. And so there's a lot of positives why I chose Henry Ford, and I was so fortunate that Henry Ford chose me back. So I was very happy with that.
Yeah. Well, we're glad to have you. Dr. Daniel Herbst is joining us today, and he is our new Vice President for Student Affairs here at Henry Ford College. I suppose it makes sense to talk a little bit about this new sort of administrative makeup that's going on in the biggest sense, and that is the new potential president.
I was going to say, we got a lot of vice presidents. How does it feel to be coming in as a vice president when obviously we have somebody who's acting and fulfilling that role as we continue the search for a president here at Henry Ford College? And maybe it's too new, but you know, what kind of things do you hope that we see when we find our next president?
Well, I believe that the next president coming in will be chosen by the board, and they'll do a great job because I've already talked to several board members. They've come and introduced themselves to me, I'm going to the next board meeting. What am I looking for? I'm just looking to be able to continue to do the process improvements here at Henry Ford that I think the students deserve. And somebody who's student-focused as well as being outwardly focused. I'm not saying anything that none of the candidates, all the candidates are saying the same thing. I'm student-focused and I'm outwardly focused.
Sure.
So
right.
That type of thing. But you mentioned about coming in without a president here. I did have the good opportunity to interview with Dr. Jensen before I left. And so I felt very honored to be able to do that. I enjoyed my conversation with him. And he also reaffirmed in my mind that this is going to be a great place to come to work.
We think so, too. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why we've been here for a very long time as well. Yeah, no kidding. You mentioned some topics of study that you've had and some certifications and things that you've been connected to. A correctional instructor. I thought this was fascinating. In your bio, certified ethical fitness trainer. Mm-hmm. I got to learn more about that. Substance abuse counselor, professional in residence through the Betty Ford Center. My goodness, how often do you feel in your experience you've needed that type of training? I mean, what is the ratio of student issues, or is it school to school? Is it community to community, region to region, in terms of what level of those skills really do need to be, kind of coming in handy on a regular basis?
Well, I can give her an example. I was at Washington University in St. Louis, a very high-end university, large endowment, large tuition fees and everything like that. And I went from that to working in a small community college in Southern Illinois, which I lovingly said was conveniently located between a cornfield and a prison. What I found was that the students' needs didn't change. Mm. Students at Washington University and the students at Kaskaskia College needed somebody who showed that they cared about them, who understand the system, who understood where they were coming from and how they needed to be able to progress to the next level. And so, that's what I found wherever I've been around the country, that students may change the way they look, the way they talk, their accents and all these kinds of things, but ultimately they're human beings who are trying to get a better education to better themselves. Our role is to be able to provide those services to be able to get them to the next level.
Great. Many of our listeners have either attended Henry Ford Community College, when that was the name, Ford College. Now, I think many have children and even grandchildren that are in our college environment or in our local high schools, and they're suggesting attend Henry Ford because it's the best value and the best quality for the value, and it literally is right down the street. As we continue trying to appeal to our current student base and our current community base, we often have to consider looking ahead and maybe trying to forecast what might be coming around the corner so that we can be ready for it, if you will. Mm-hmm. Have you any sort of bigger picture trends that you think might be coming up that you want to address or have some support with in your role?
Mm-hmm. The current technical programs we have here are some of the best in the country when it comes to being able to provide the nursing program and other types of programs, the automotive programs that we have here. Those will continue. People will always have cars and always have the need for nurses. Mm-hmm. What I'm also looking at being able to do is I understand that Henry Ford, and I know that Henry Ford has a great transfer program, that you were talking about being the best value. I haven't had the numbers for here, but I can tell you that nationally, that a student who graduates from a two-year institution and then matriculates to a four-year institution, graduates from that four-year institution with a higher GPA and at a higher rate than somebody who is a native student who did all 4 years at that institution. It was that way in Maricopa with ASU and Arizona State University and University of Arizona. I don't have the data to support that here with University of Michigan and MSU, but I would just imagine that's the case. So to the students who are listening or to someone who's thinking about becoming a student, it's not only a great value economically, but academically it's a great value. And that's why we hope they start here, but not only hope they start here, but get that degree, get that last two classes to walk out of here with the Henry Ford degree in their hand to be able to do that. Because studies show that you could be one class short, and you're going to be back in with the native students at the four-year school with the same graduation and GPA rate. But if you go ahead and take that last course and get that piece of paper from Henry Ford, your chances for success absolutely go up.
And that could be U of M, MSU, Wayne State, right next door at U of M Dearborn,
Harvard, Yale, whatever you want to say.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Right. A very education-rich area, even within an hour's drive of here when we talk about Oakland University and other opportunities to complete a four-year degree as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Certainly our goal, if that is the goal of the student, and in more cases than not, it is. I think I have a pretty good handle on what the Vice President for Student Affairs does. I've worked extensively with our former Vice President for Student Affairs and even the one before that in a variety of wonderfully exciting capacities. But what do you see your job as being? If you could describe your own job description, what is your day-to-day? What is your week-to-week in general terms? And I know you've been here long enough now. You should be able to answer this.
8 days, absolutely. Yes. That's a... gold watch time.
You got it.
My job is to make sure that students receive the services they need to be able to move forward, but also that the staff feels supported. You cannot have a successful college without having a staff who are well-treated and who know that they are being supported and given the tools that they need to be able to do to move forward. And I also know that the administration has some responsibility. I have my feet in both worlds right now, and I'm very comfortable with that. I enjoy seeing students. In fact, as I was coming over here, a faculty member says, "I need to talk to you about a student. It can wait till tomorrow, but can I see you at 8 o'clock in the morning?" So I know my day is going to start tomorrow talking about a specific student concern, and then I'll go to a meeting where we're talking about a major project that we're doing here on campus, and then I'll go to another meeting with some other administrator where we're talking about HLC accreditation, those other types of things. You ask me what my day is like. It is every day it's different, and I'm really comfortable with that, and I can work on that. I come to work with a list of 10 things. I go home with a list of 15 things, and I've been busy all day.
Yeah.
So it's that type of thing sometimes. But it's always about student first. Several projects that I've started on other colleges, I go to the whiteboard and say, what serves students best? If we can't answer that question with what we're doing in that meeting, we might as well go back to our offices, because we really, if what we're doing doesn't work to improve the lives of students, we're not doing our job right. And that's really a 10,000 point view, but that should really be our mantra, everything that we do here at Henry Ford.
Yeah, I can see why he got picked. Wonderful answer. Thank you for that. When we, talk about some of the facilities that are already here and present on campus, I read again in your bio a little bit about sort of starting chairing a behavioral intervention team and opening some, you alluded to the buildings that you were able to create with the welcoming community first experience for students coming in. We have our BIT team, we have our Welcome Center, which is newer to our campus. We're still very proud of it. I know you're learning all these things as we go. Short term, is there anything that you're thinking, boy, I wish we had one of these, or I would love to try to consider something like this because it worked well at another school or something like that? Or are you more of the mindset, I'm just going to kind of sit back and see how it all goes, and then we'll talk about that later?
Yes. I come in with this attitude, is that Henry Ford is successful before I came. They will be successful after I leave, hopefully 5 to 10 years from now. My goal is to be able to learn how we're doing things well and to feature those and improve those. Where there are gaps between what we're doing well and what students need, that's where we need to do the process improvement to be able to bring that up so students are being well served. Do I have ideas? Of course I have ideas. I've got thousands of ideas. But I also have, and I promise this to the interview committee, that I do believe in the 80-20 rule. My first few days on campus, 80% I'm going to be listening, and 20% of the time I'm going to be asking questions, because I don't believe it's going to serve anyone for me to come in and start making changes without knowing what I'm making changes to. Because if I push in here, it's going to pop out here, and I want to make sure what I'm doing serves students, serves our staff, and make sure it meets what the administration wants me to be able to do. But do I have ideas? Yes, I have ideas.
Well, we look forward to learning more about those as we move forward. In the process of welcoming you, I know this wonderful press release has been sent out, and I'm hoping and expecting that our what we feel is our wonderful campus community has been giving you a warm welcome. Is there anything you miss? When I say warm welcome, I'm sort of tongue-in-cheek, but you're used to the weather. Is there anything that that was like, I really want to take that job, but I'm going to really miss this thing, aside from your wife, who I understand is not quite here yet.
My wife, my daughter, and Molly, the wonder dog, are not quite here yet. The only thing I'm going to miss, and this is all just so superficial, is being able to ride my motorcycle 12 months a year. And so it'll limit me to that. But we do, my wife and I enjoy exploring. When we moved to Arizona, we knew very little about Arizona. And we probably visited more sites and did more things than the locals ever do. And that's what I plan on doing here in Michigan. It's just exploring Michigan from one end to the other, from the Upper Peninsula down
to
wherever.
There's a lot to explore, yeah.
And it's a beautiful state, and we know there's going to be a lot for us to do. So that part of it I don't think I'm going to miss. I made great friendships in Arizona. I made great both professional and personal friendships there. And, of course, you're going to miss those people. But with the advent of Internet and those other types of things, we're able to stay in contact and be able to still do that. And I'm now closer to a lot of friends who left in the Midwest and my family in the Midwest. And so there's that plus part of it that I'm really looking forward to taking advantage to.
Very nice. We are grateful that you took some time out of what I'm sure must be an incredibly busy schedule these first several days to come in and chat with us. And we wanted to sort of share an opportunity to get to know you both sort of professionally, but also a little bit of personal information. So thank you for being candid as far as that goes. And we certainly want to welcome you on behalf of our aspects of the college community and our community at large. You have, I'm sure, dealt with things like millage renewals and promotional campaigns and rebranding things and so on and so forth. How much of your job, as we get ready to let you go to your next thing, how much of your job do you feel is sort of that voice and face of the student or of the responsible party to make sure that our students are certainly not forgotten in the community as well as the college campus itself?
That's a great question. Now, millage is really a Michigan issue, and so I'm learning that. I knew of the millages. I've worked on bond proposals and other things before, but millages is something new to me, and I'm really learning. I'm learning that quickly. But speaking out for the students is something I do naturally every day. It's something that I make sure that I do it in a way that people understand that I'm doing it for the best interest of the students and those other types of things. And so I did meet this morning with the foundation director, and he was talking about possibly doing some talks about getting some help for students. I love that idea. Whatever I can do to help bring in other resources for students, I think it's really important. You mentioned earlier about students' needs. I really firm believer that student needs to be prepared academically, economically, and socially. And what we do through student affairs is to touch all three of those areas. A student can be weak in one of those two areas, but they cannot be absent in any of them. And so we have to make sure that students have the money they need to go to school for financial aid and foundation scholarships. They need the academic support through testing and making sure they're advised into the right classes. And socially, the student life component of it, all the clubs and organizations. I went to a wonderful speech today by Dr. Demetrius Ford as part of Black History Week. Great opportunities for students to connect on campus. I think all those things are important for what we do.
Very good.
And that last one being one that's maybe more challenging for a campus where everybody drives here and goes to their classes and drives home. I mean, it's an admitted challenge to get people involved and to have them stay involved.
Another long conversation.
Yeah, right. we'll have you back to talk about that some other time.
We'll give you a little more than 8 days.
Yeah, right. Speaking of which, of 8 days, and really this just goes back to last week when the news here at Henry Ford College, the Presidential Advisory Search Committee identified 8 semifinalist candidates for the next president here at HFC, and there are public interviews scheduled next week. I just wanted to mention it before the week got away from us. They're going to take place on February 17th and 18th, so that's next weekend, more or less ish, at the Dearborn Inn, which is most people would know on Oakwood Boulevard, right across from the Henry Ford here in from Ford Motor Company here in Dearborn. There will be public interviews that take place Saturday, February 17th, Sunday, February 18th, and there is an entire schedule that's listed on the HFC website, hfcc.edu. Interviews run from, I really don't envy anybody on the committee, from 8:30 to 4:45 each day of those 2 days, with and roughly an hour and a half with each of the 8 semifinalist candidates. And then obviously we're going to get down into the finalist round, which will be forwarded to the Board of Trustees.
Very good. And this is open to the public.
Correct. Open to the public. Yeah. That's why we mention it. HFCC.edu is the place to get more information.
Exactly. Speaking of more information, Dr. Herbst, if someone, for whatever reason, wanted to reach out and contact you through your office, how might they do so?
They can just call the general number, and I'm blanking off the top of my head after 8 days. I haven't called myself. But they can just call the office for Vice President of Student Affairs, and it will be routed to me, and
wonderful.
I will respond to it. I welcome all calls. I want to make sure that people know that I'm accessible that way. And so either that or my email, which is drherbst@hfc.edu.
Pretty close. HFCC.edu. Okay,
sorry, I left out the C.
DRR for middle name?
DR for the middle name, right?
For the middle name.
It looks like Dr. Herbst when you do it. But
oh,
it's,
I love that.
But it's my initials.
It's amazing how that worked out. And yeah, it's still HFCC.edu because there's, I think, a college somewhere on the East Coast that has HFC.edu.
Oh,
when we
right.
changed Good the name, they already had that domain.
Yeah, that and my story is we actually, that refers to Henry Ford College Cares.edu. So that's the way I pitched that, but works for me.
I'm going to steal that, by the way.
I hope you will.
Good, yes.
I hope you will. So our main office or campus number is 313-845-9600.
Thank you.
Certainly, 313-845-9600. And certainly sounds like we have an open avenue to communicate with you. We appreciate mm-hmm. that and wish you just the best of success as you continue to get to know us and we continue to get to know
Very
you.
Kind. Thank you. I
My
appreciate
pleasure,
it.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. Dr. Daniel Herbst, new Vice President for Student Affairs here at Henry Ford College. We've got more on the way. We hope you'll stay with us on this blustery Friday. This is the new WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw along with Alan Mazurek. Please stay with us. Welcome. In this segment, we are going to talk about one of my favorite things in the whole world, and that is food.
You know, we made it through January and managed to keep to our New Year's resolutions, but
fairly
hey,
well.
It's February, so what the heck? Maybe we can have a little indulgence, yeah. right?
Out the window. Absolutely. Well, we're excited to talk about an event that the city of Dearborn has embraced, and it is called Restaurant Week. And joining us in studio at this time are two representatives to talk a little bit about this this new institution. We have in studio Sam Abbas, who is the Downtown Dearborn Promotions Committee chairperson and also owner of Brome Modern Eatery and Yogurtopia here in Dearborn. And Mo Heider is joining us as well, and Mo is participating in Restaurant Week and also is the owner of Famous Hamburger in West Dearborn. Gentlemen, we've been reading a lot in terms of press promotion for this event. First of all, welcome to our studios. Really excited to have you here to tell us a little about the event.
Thank you for having us.
Certainly.
Thank you very much.
When we talk about, well, first of all, I guess, Sam, we'll start with you, Downtown Dearborn Promotions Committee Chairperson. Well, that's a mouthful in and of itself. Did like how I did that? That's a mouthful. Get it? Because we're talking about food. Oh, never mind. So,
it sounds like there's a lot on his plate, by the way. Yeah.
There's another one.
I like it. I like it. Air high five. There you go. So, Sam, tell us a little bit about this event. Why is it important to the city of Dearborn, and what's going on with it?
Right. So I serve on the Promotions Organizations Committee, and one thing to mention, Mo does as well. So without his help, as well as all the other volunteers and all the other members of the committee, this event wouldn't be possible for us to have in the coming week. So the point of Dearborn Restaurant Week really is to showcase the culinary, the diverse culinary offerings that we have here in Dearborn, which makes us super unique to other communities in downtown areas. So we're super excited. We got a ton of new restaurants that have opened up, a lot of cool new dishes, even at the existing, pre-existing restaurants, some of the restaurants that were signed up last year and, you know, decided to sign up again this year.
Nice. I hear over 35 restaurants participating. I mean, wow, for a restaurant week, in a well, I mean, we're a sizable community, but still 35
Absolutely.
Different restaurants participating. That's got to be some kind of a record. That's incredible. We should also mention that Restaurant Week officially takes place next week. So it starts, is it Monday to Sunday?
Sunday?
Okay,
yep.
Monday to Sunday.
Correct.
The 12th through the 18th, I guess that would be. And how does it work? How does the process work? Mo, maybe you want to speak to that? Like, how do people actually participate in this?
So our guests come in and they pretty much they have a restaurant week menu available as well as our their dine-in menu, the restaurant menu.
Okay.
And then they can choose from either menu. They don't have to choose from the restaurant week menu, but it's the restaurant week menu helps promote the restaurant's best sellers and the best dishes on in the restaurant. So there's a lot of restaurants they choose their signature dishes, and then they want to sell that item, mm-hmm. and then hopefully that item will bring them back to with their friends and family next time.
Nice.
And then we offer the Restaurant Week offers $10, $20, and $30 prefixed menus. Mm-hmm. So not all the restaurants have all three of those menus.
Okay.
So they'll have, some of them will have one or two of those options.
And the best part of the actual DRW menu, Durban Restaurant Week menu, is the fact that you are getting almost a 25 to 30% savings on the menu item. So like Mo highlighted, you know, some of his finest selling burgers. And, you know, if I'm a local resident or even an outside resident, I have the ability to come in and try something and not pay full price. Because what if you just, you know, you're unsure. There's four or five restaurants you want to try. So, you know, actually, Mo and I were looking at some of the new restaurants, and we're like, you know what, let's pick out three or four of these and let's visit them ourselves. And believe it or not, restaurant owners don't often get out as much as you think. So we hibernate in our own establishment. So this year we're making it a point to really, you know, pick three or four of the solid ones that we haven't tried, some of the newer ones, and get out there and check out some of their new menu items. So I'm excited. And I still have yet to visit Famous, so I'm actually planning. That is one of my go-tos.
How about this? We'll go to Brome if you go to Famous. Actually, I was telling Susan, the goal for this year is to visit all the restaurants. I mean, we all want to help support every restaurant in the community.
But what happens? How are we going to continue to work? Somebody's got to work.
That's
right?
Fine. You know what? We got to take a time.
Maybe Mo's taking a vacation. I have to be at the restaurant at some point.
Oh, I love this healthy, friendly competition. This is great. Well, you know, speaking of the topic of competition, this is a bunch of restaurateurs that are in many ways, you know, competing for the same dollar, right? The same $10 or $20 bill for somebody to come in for lunch or dinner. But there is none of that really going on during Restaurant Week. It's an opportunity, again, to really bring everybody up.
It's right? Friendly competition, and that's kind of one of the conversations we've also had. So we're shifting the direction of competition. We're not competing with each other. Mm-hmm. We're competing with other downtowns. Sure. We want the outside community to decide between, hey, are you going to downtown Birmingham or are you going to come to downtown Dearborn and try something new? We've all been to Birmingham and Royal Oak and downtown Detroit, but, you know, downtown Dearborn is on the map and we're here to stay.
Well, let me ask you this question, because it's hard to talk about Dearborn without talking about the two halves of Dearborn as we have, you know, think about it, East Dearborn, West Dearborn. What kind of restaurants do we have involved that represent the different areas? Is this focused in this West Dearborn strip here along Michigan Avenue, or is this pretty much the whole city?
So, you know, we don't look at it as being two separate downtowns. The idea is we're connecting our downtowns. We want to have it as one continuous downtown for you to come out and visit. We have incredible offerings in the East Dearborn, pocket of businesses, as well as the West Dearborn pocket of businesses. But we're all one downtown, and we are trying to bring you in from the outside, neighboring cities.
Okay, makes
sense. There are so many new restaurants that have popped up in the East Dearborn area as well that are phenomenal.
What are some of them?
Places like M Cantina. Yep. On Michigan Avenue, they are phenomenal. So many other places that people don't know of, and Dearborn Restaurant Week is going to help them introduce those restaurants. And I
even read an article in the newspaper that M Cantina is selling a $60 taco, so I'm super interested to see what that is. Unfortunately, that didn't make it onto the $10, $20, or $30 price point.
I would expect not. Yeah, well, very interesting.
They also have grasshoppers.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Fried
so, well, that's where I suppose we get into the variety of flavors as we're talking about it, and the diverse tapestry, as I think is a part of sort of the promotion of this whole concept, is the idea of bringing diversity to foodies, people that love food, maybe sick of what they're used to eating now, or not wanting to, again, invest a lot of money in something that might be considered a little trendy. With that being said, what makes this grouping of restaurants so effective for people from these outside communities who have maybe never dined in Dearborn, listening to us on the internet right now from downtown Detroit, where they live and work? Why should they come in? Why should they come into this community and experience Restaurant Week, besides the fact that they're going to get a deal on some of this food? What do you think?
I'd have to say that we have a much more diverse offering than other communities. I mean, give me one city where you can find the best Mediterranean food, some of the best Mexican food, We also have the chains. You know, we have the P.F. Chang's and the Big Fish and, you know, all the fine dining, the Benihanas. But, you know, we bring a unique twist in our downtown by offering the things that you can't find in outside communities. I mean, they're trying. Those communities are trying hard, but they're not there yet.
Okay, makes sense.
Dearborn has so much to offer with food, and it's great. We can't wait to promote it.
Absolutely.
So the mistake I made was doing this interview before eating lunch, so, because I'm just like really, really hungry right now. In terms of business hours for these restaurants, are they all sticking to a fixed set of hours to, you know, to stay in conjunction with that?
Business as usual, right?
Yeah,
business as usual. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. So go to your local restaurant's website, call your local restaurant to find out, or the restaurant you that you might be interested in.
You don't even have to do that. We kind of made it very simple for everybody, and you just go to DearbornRestaurantWeek.com. You visit the restaurants between February 12th and 18th. On Restaurant Week, DearbornRestaurantWeek.com, you can find all of the menus there, all of the price points there. Pick out a handful of restaurants that you want to visit throughout the week, and then just walk in and visit. You don't have to pre-purchase tickets or,
nice.
You know, me and Mo were talking about that. You know, that's kind of annoying with some of the other events. You got to pre-purchase or register. You do nothing. You don't give us your email. You just literally just find a menu.
You never know when there's going to be 9 inches of snow, and maybe you don't want to.
Literally go in and start eating.
Sure. Or you're done shoveling and you don't want to cook.
Right.
Right?
Yep, so there you go. Absolutely.
So that's the way I look at it.
They're on that glass half full, glass half empty.
Yeah,
there you
got it. When we get into the sort of the mindset of somebody dining out as a family, and I know families are not as big as they used to be. I come from a family of 9 kids, and my mom didn't like to cook, but we didn't get to go out very often because we had a lot of kids. Many of these restaurants, and you know, based on the names, and I've been to many of them, feel very family friendly. Others a little more upscale. Are we seeing that much of a variety in terms of the offerings available? So can we bring out a family of 4, a family of 6, and still really enjoy this experience?
Again, another thing that Dearborn has to offer is a variety of class of food. So you can go into majority of these restaurants with a family of 4, with your boyfriend, with your girlfriend, with your wife, with your husband, or by yourself, mm-hmm. and enjoy it. And you also have the fine dining where you can go in with on Valentine's Day. You can enjoy Restaurant Week on Valentine's Day.
And I was going to say, are these mm-hmm. promotions still available even on what is probably one of the biggest restaurant nights of the year, which is Valentine's Day? Or how does that work?
So some of the restaurants are opting out of that, but not all of them. So you can mm-hmm. still find great finds where, you know, you might be able to go on a date at one of these restaurants, and they will still offer you the Dearborn Restaurant Week menu.
Right.
No, everybody enjoys a burger and a date.
Yes.
And your boyfriend or girlfriend will think that you're being thrifty and conscientious and not cheap, right?
Right.
And you're exploring
right.
new things.
Exploring,
I like that.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. Well, the mindset behind this and the press release says, eat, repeat at Dearborn Restaurant Week. And I love that. I think it's very clever. When we motivate people to participate, ultimately, it's not only the restaurants that are benefiting from an opportunity to showcase their best stuff, but also the community of Dearborn. I'm expecting that the city is embracing this event. It is the second annual. Embracing it in such a way that if you bring people in to eat in Dearborn, chances are they're going to maybe pop into a store or frequent a library or, you know, participate in some other way in the other things that this community has to offer. Well, have you addressed that much in the planning phase of this event?
So right now, what we're trying to do is create, and I'm going to go back to the promotions and organizations committee. So the whole point is to activate our downtowns, right? Mm-hmm. So we are creating different events. This one is its aim is focused on the restaurant scene. There's other events, kind of like Ladies Night, which is coming up in April. So Ladies Night is in April, and that is kind of geared towards more of your services. So your massages, your spas, your nail salons, things like that, you know. And then there's also an event that Mo is heading up in April as well, which is Martian Marathon. So these are all different types of events that we really need to focus on in order to activate our downtown.
Very good. So everybody sort of got the same purpose.
Same goal. Yeah. Absolutely.
Nice. Nice.
Our guests on the new WHFR Journal, Mo Hyder from Famous Hamburgers, and we've also got Sam Abbas from Brome Modern Eatery in Yogurtopia, talking about Dearborn Restaurant Week, which begins on Monday and runs through next Sunday, February 18th. I'll give you one shot, and if you want to rock, paper, scissors to see who goes first. Sam or Mo, I walk into your restaurant. What is the one thing that I need to taste?
Restaurant Week menu or no Restaurant Week menu?
Restaurant Week menu.
Restaurant Week menu. Well, you need to try the bacon cheeseburger.
Okay.
It's a phenomenal burger.
What about the Juicy Lucy on your menu?
The Juicy Lucy off the menu, off the Restaurant Week menu is
so he left it
phenomenal.
Off.
Yeah. That's for you guys to come. That's the whole point of eat, repeat. So we want you to repeat and come back.
And Sam, I'll give you your one shot at it.
Hands down, the Mex. You have to try the Mex. It oozes with a cheese fondue, a corn salsa, avocado. I mean, you're going to be drooling at the mouth by the time you leave there.
You're killing me.
I did that because I know how hungry you are, Susan.
Thank you for that, Alan. So you mentioned how easy it is to learn more about this event. Tell us that website again, and what are we going to find there if we're interested in maybe picking out a place or two or five to eat at next week?
Absolutely. So just head to DearbornRestaurantWeek.com. We have 35 menus listed. All you have to do is just kind of put in your mind which restaurants you're going to visit, look at some of the menu items, head over to those restaurants between February 12th and February 18th. The restaurant will be supplying a Dearborn Restaurant Week menu alongside their regular dining menu, so you can always order off of their regular menu. And the only other thing I can say is, you know, there's a few of the restaurants that have opted out from offering the DRW menu on Valentine's Day. For the rest of the week, it's business as usual. Hours stay the same. Everything else is the same.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you so much, gentlemen. We wish you a very successful Restaurant Week. We hope it does bring people that are sort of out of the community in to see what wonderful things we have to offer here.
Thank you.
Really Absolutely. Appreciate it. Good luck
Thank
with
you, guys.
It.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we've got more on the way. This is the new WHFR Journal. Please stay with us.
It's the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. A good Friday afternoon to you. And joining us for this segment of our program is Josh Hebert, as we talk about sports in and around Dearborn and surrounding communities. Lots of things going on, actually. And if you don't mind, I kind of want to just give a little tip of the cap, because we had actually, you know, National Signing Day for
yes.
athletes who are moving on and going to be playing in college. And I know that, you know, that applies to a lot of, you know, Pioneers, Thunderbirds, Tractors,
Falcons.
Chargers, Falcons, Jaguars, Cardinals,
Bears.
Rail Splitters, whatever, you know, in our listening area, a lot of high school athletes, including some that are going to be coming here to Henry Ford College to, you know, continue their educations first and foremost, but also to be able to do what they love doing, which is playing their particular sport, right?
Yeah.
Hats off to anybody
yes.
who participated in those signing day ceremonies that took place at high schools all around the area on Wednesday.
National Signing Day, always a big thing for people who are interested in college athletics. One person in particular goes to Divine Child, plays on the basketball team.
Quinn?
Yes, thank you. Quinn Nordine.
Quinn Blair, I think, yes.
Blair.
Going to William & Mary in somewhere on the East Coast.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's in Maryland or where it's actually at.
Playing basketball. Quinn Nordine is actually the kicker at the University of Michigan.
Oh, okay, there you go. All right, there you go.
But come in, and also Divine Child did win their league the other day.
Oh, in basketball?
Yes.
And they've had a lot of great success in some of the different sports that they've always been, you know, strong in. I know the hockey team's been on a good run lately.
Yeah. Football team as well.
Yeah, sure.
Has
absolutely.
People going.
Yeah. So, anyway, sorry to sidetrack us into signing day and high school athletics. What else do we have this afternoon?
Sadly, the Henry Ford Hawks have lost the last two games in a row that they've played after having an outstanding season up to this point.
Were these particularly, you know, strong teams and competitive games, which happens. I mean, the season moves on, and sometimes you come up against a team that's just, you know, a little more prepared than you. Not to say that they're better, but they're more prepared than you, I guess.
You, of course, had Henry Ford playing Mott last Saturday, which that was just not a pretty game for the Hawks here. Okay. Losing 107-78.
Okay.
And then last Wednesday night, they played and lost to Schoolcraft at Schoolcraft, 71-66.
Oh, much closer game, obviously, though.
Yes. And they are on the road one more game against number 20 ranked Delta College.
Up in the Saginaw area.
That's tomorrow. And then they come home and play St. Clair County Community College.
SC4 on Wednesday evening, right?
Yes, for Valentine's Day. Yep. Take your sweetheart out to that game. And then, also, basketball season's getting ready to wind down.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball season, as you know, Alan, and as Susan knows, baseball is my passion, my love here. I can break some news about some former Henry Ford Hawks.
Oh, please do.
Enrique, I hope I get his last name right here, Roberes, went to Woodhaven, came here, played for 2 years for baseball, got a spring training invite to Bravos de Leon in Mexico.
Oh, wow.
And then another former Hawk who came here and played for 2 years went to my alma mater, Allen Park. Mm-hmm. I actually graduated with him. Jose Salinas is going down for a tryout with Monterrey.
Also in Mexico, then, obviously. And to explain to us, I mean, obviously, when we think of baseball and, you know, professional leagues, we think of the Tigers, we think of the Red Sox, the Cubs, whatever. But these are professional leagues that provide opportunities for players.
Yeah, these are affiliated with MLB through the minor league baseball program that we have. It is one of the top levels in Mexico where both of these guys are getting being able to try out. I know both of them very well. Enrique's a pitcher, did good out here at Henry Ford, was phenomenal in the Downriver League. And then Jose Salinas as well. I was able to coach him in high school. I was very close with him. He's a phenomenal second baseman. Just props to both of them. Both well-deserved opportunities, being able to go down and play in Mexico.
So we've got, obviously, baseball on the horizon. Yes. Wrapping up basketball season. We talked about roller hockey. There's also,
softball.
What do we have? I was going to say, what do we have on the women's side of the sports ledger? Softball also starting up.
Softball will be getting started about the same time as baseball. Former Henry Ford baseball coach, Mr. Brown is now actually coaching the softball side of things to help try to turn them around.
And how does that work for both of those sports? Because their seasons usually start just about the time that whether or not the snow is melted or not, they're mostly mud, right?
Yeah.
So what do they do for training? I'm assuming that they must go probably somewhere a little warmer to play some tournaments to start the season and things like that.
I know for the baseball side of things, and I'm pretty sure it's the same for the softball here, they start and go to Florida over our spring break.
Must be nice.
Yeah. Beautiful down there at that time of year. They get to go down, play some colleges from that area. Then when they come back up here, it's still a little cold because it is still March. Some snow still on the ground. They may have a snow out here or there, but if it's a big conference game, they'll reschedule it. Baseball this early in the year here in Michigan,
it can be a little tricky, right?
You just have to know where you're going, how you're doing, and what you want to do at this point.
Excellent. Anything else going on the sports side of things for us?
You have top teams playing top teams in high school basketball.
Yep.
I know you have
playoffs starting soon.
Actually, spring break time for us here at Henry Ford.
About 3 weeks from now. Yeah.
You get to go out, enjoy some nice basketball if you're a student here, watch some games, don't have to worry about those classes.
And, of course, some roller hockey still to come,
roller
too.
Roller hockey is actually playing this weekend out at Joe Dumas, as Dominic said last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have that schedule right here.
And they've been having a pretty good season as they've sort of brought the sport of roller hockey to the campus here at HFC. It's easy to think that, you know, athletics always gets a lot of attention and things like that, but these are also students, kids who are here at Henry Ford College to learn, to be able to advance themselves, to advance their careers, and to move on into that next phase of life,
it
just
is.
Like we do with all of our students. So.
And the schedule for this weekend,
yep.
Henry Ford will play the University of Michigan roller hockey team at 1 p.m. on Saturday. They'll play Ohio State at 4 p.m. Saturday, and they'll play Akron roller hockey at 8 a.m. on Sunday.
That sounds like a busy weekend.
It does.
Josh Hebert, thanks so much for joining us today on the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw, and we will be back in just a second to wrap up this week's edition of the show. Stay tuned, please. It's the new WHFR Journal here on 89.3, also online at WHFR.fm. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. Thanks so much for being with us on the program today. We want to wrap up the show with just a couple of reminders of events going on next week here on the HFC campus related to our Black History Month celebration. And these are a couple of things that will be taking place, next Tuesday and Thursday here at Henry Ford College. Tuesday, the February 13th, so next Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock in the Student Center building, which is Building M here on the HFC campus. It's part of the Around the World concert series, the Uprisin' Steel Drum Band. Uprisin', a Caribbean steel drum band, will perform sets of jazz and contemporary music from the Caribbean islands, as well as educate listeners on the origination of the music and instruments. So that takes place between 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. And then on Thursday evening, we will have movie night here in Building M, the Student Center building here on the Henry Ford campus. From 6 to 9 o'clock, it's going to be a showing of the film Hidden Figures, the story of a team of female African-American mathematicians who served a vital role at NASA during the early years of the U.S. space program. Admission to both of these events is free. And I should mention that if you're going to show a movie, you got to have some popcorn. And my understanding is that there will be some popcorn and pizza that will be a part of what's being offered along with the showing of the movie Hidden Figures. So again, Tuesday at 1 o'clock until 2 o'clock in the Student Center building here, Building M on the HFC campus, the Uprisin' Steel Drum Band, and then Thursday evening, 6 to 9, here also in the same building in the atrium there, we'll be showing the movie Hidden Figures. Thanks so much for being with us. It's been great to be here with you here on this snowy Friday afternoon here on the new WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw and I will be back next week with another exploration of things going on in and around our community and the HFC campus. Stay tuned. We've got more coming up music-wise here on the station Making Waves. I'm Alan Mazurek. Have a great weekend, and thanks again so much for joining us here on the new WHFR Journal.